Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry.
This is James, and I'm sitting here with Tony Arnold, or as many know him as the original Heartthrob. We're sitting here on a wonderful Tuesday evening and ready just to talk about ministry. Tony, if you would, just take a second and introduce you to our audience.
Well, my name's Tony Arnold. I come from a small town called Newville, Alabama. Very small town, like 500 people small, more cows than people. But I grew up and was raised there. I got into ministry while I was in college. I interned with a student ministry at Fraser. And after I got out of school, I wanted to teach and coach, but ended up getting my first full-time job out of school as a youth minister. And I've been doing youth ministry ever since. I'm at Alex City Methodist Church. It's an independent Methodist church in Alexander City, Alabama. And I've been here for about 2 years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, 2 years next month.
Well, there's one thing you forgot to introduce about yourself. Do you know what it could be?
What's that? I'm married.
You're married to your wife. What's your
wife? I am married. I'm married to a beautiful blonde-headed, blue-eyed lady named Deborah that is definitely my better half. Definitely.
I would agree with that. but you would probably agree that my beautiful wife is my better half. So
Probably.
it took me about, and you haven't been married, is it a little over a year now?
Almost a year. We're getting close
almost
to
a year. It took me about 3 years to get to where I introduced my wife like I was supposed to. and we're going on 4 years, so it hadn't been long. Well, I just want to jump into it this evening. As I was telling you beforehand, I got a prayer service to get to in about 20 minutes, but that should give us plenty enough time to talk about this and have a good time in it. But the first question I always ask someone when they come on here is, how would you define an everyday minister?
Well, everyday minister is, to me, is should be all of us. It's something that's a lifestyle. It's just part of who we are. Because once we know Jesus Christ and we give our lives to Him, we choose to follow Him. So it should be someone that thinks about, you know, the will of God and everything that we do. And we may fail sometimes, but we strive to achieve that as far as do God's will above our own in each and everything that we do.
I agree. And I think so often we kind of get stuck on the minister side of it. When we think of a minister, we think of a pastor or youth pastor or worship guy or something like that. But like you said, biblically, all of us are called to do that. All of us are called to go and to share the gospel and to make disciples. So I always enjoy asking that question because I generally get a different answer every time. Mm-hmm. So you said, and I know all of this, but the listeners don't, maybe. But you've told us that you started off in youth ministry back when you were college age. So just kind of give us how you got into ministry and kind of what your experience has been since then. You don't have to just give us all the details, just whatever you want us to know.
Well, the way I got into ministry is I was in the college ministry at Fraser, and I got pretty close to the college minister there. And he suggested to me to intern for a summer with Fraser student ministry. I wasn't into it. I told him no at first. I wasn't interested in doing youth ministry, particularly middle school is what he really was wanting me to get into. And I said no at first, and then I finally did it. And believe it or not, I fell in love with it, working with kids. Only things I've ever wanted to do is preach and coach football. So working with young people is all I've ever really wanted to do. It's just I went through a very different route than I thought I'd go with it. But I got involved in that. I took my first full-time job. It was actually in Alex City. It was at First United Methodist. And I was in Gordo for a while where we met when I was working at First United Methodist there. I wanted to get closer to home. I went to Enterprise First United Methodist. And then the job came open here in Alex City. I really loved the description it had of what they really wanted in ministers. They wanted a minister who's out in the public, that's out in the schools, out with the kids, not really someone that holds office hours and things like that. They said, well, we trust you to get your things done, so we want you out in the in the field, so to speak. So you're actually in the schools a lot. So it was something I really liked, and I thought that was matched up a lot with what I thought ministry should be, is me being in the schools.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, you talk about when we met, me, you, Corey, and Daniel, we all met right there around the same time. And through you, depending on when I decide to release this episode, the people would have already or about to get introduced to Jeremy. And that's how I kind of met him, was through you. But I think back to our time when we all lived in Gordo, and that's definitely one thing that I saw in you that you desired to be, was a part of the school, a part of the kids' lives, and more than just the church setting. So I think you found a good place for you. Not that they didn't want you to be, they wanted you to be as well, but for the next place that God had you, I think you found a great place for you there, and eventually met your beautiful wife and got married and all that. So so we know kind of, because we're about to ask you some questions about marriage and kind of the ministry before and after, just kind of tell us about how old you are and how long you did ministry without being married and how long you've been doing ministry since you've been married.
I'm 38 years old. So I was 37 when I got married. So we've been married less than a year. So, I've done most of my life that, most of my career in ministry has been as a single person. We dated for about a year, and we've been married for about a year. So it's, majority of the time has been that way. The only place that I've dated and married, that I seriously date anybody while doing ministry, has been here in Alex City. So majority of my ministry has been as a single man.
So what was one of the hardest things for you in ministry, specifically in youth ministry as a single individual?
Well, it's dealing with like female issues that are, you know, specific to females, because obviously I don't understand it. I'm not wired that way. I can't think that way. And if you want to be there for, you know, the girls you got in the ministry are going through some tough things, but there's a lot you don't understand. And that was always tough for me. And I would try to find parents or somebody that could kind of pour into the kids in that area, but it was always tough to really understand what they're going through or be able to identify those things even. That was always a tough part for me. It's always difficult.
Yeah. I think all men would jokingly say the same thing, but I really don't understand women either, especially girls. I did youth ministry for a while, and, you know, I did it whenever I was in Gordo with you, and I didn't understand them then. And luckily I was married my entire time in youth ministry, except for the first 6 months of it. And looking back on it, I think that was a good thing, because me as a person is pretty straightforward, blunt kind of guy, and a lot of teenage girls don't like that, so that's okay. Well, obviously, you know, that's kind of the bad, but I wanted to look at the good side of it, because, well, you know, we got Corey that's on part of the podcast, and obviously he's single in ministry. He's talked about that a lot, but also there may be somebody out there that is listening that could be a pastor, a youth pastor, whatever it may be, that is single. What is one of the benefits that you look back on and you think, well, it's harder for me to do that now since I'm not single anymore?
Well, just time. You know, my time's not really just mine anymore. I've got another person that shares in that time. So I got to kind of pick and choose what I did and when I did it. So I try to go to a lot of ball games, a lot of plays, and you know, all kind of stuff that the kids are involved in. I try to do that a lot, but now I have to be more considerate of time. And before, that was never an issue. If I wanted to go somewhere on the weekend, go to a game or something like that, I could just go. But now my time is not my own as much as it should, because there's somebody else that requires my attention and my time too. So time was one of the biggest benefits, and I have to be more careful with how I spend my time and what I do by myself to make sure I get some of the things done that I need to get done to be able to be better in time management, I guess. Okay. Right now, because that was a huge asset I didn't really realize I had before as a single person.
Yeah, I mean, because you could get up and go and say, be at a football practice all day, go to a different football practice right after that, or go to a junior high game or whatever it may be, and really had nobody to not answer to. Not that you answered your wife, but like you said, to consider.
Yeah,
for sure. And that's one thing I saw in you and Corey when we were all three youth pastors in the same area. Y'all had that opportunity a whole lot more than I did to have that freedom. But obviously, you said one of the hardest things for you when you were single was, you know, dealing with the female students. So this next question may be a duh question. What's a different or maybe the same kind of, not a blessing per se, but something that's good that's come out of marriage when reflecting to ministry itself? Obviously, your wife has been a blessing to you and been an amazing thing for you, but directly correlated to ministry.
Well, we get to do ministry together. Like, we had a D-Now weekend just this past weekend, and it went off and went well and stuff like that, but she kind of helped pour into it with me. Well, on Monday nights, we do a Bible study with high school guys and high school girls. I take the guys and she takes the girls. So it's she's got a heart for young people too. So I have a partner in ministry too now. So it's like I kind of got a co-youth pastor to kind of go in there with me almost, is because she pours into them as well as I do. So that's been a huge benefit.
If you're anything like me, and I pray that maybe you haven't had this experience yet, but even in the hard times, in the difficulties of ministry, you have that person there to, you know, encourage you and to build you up in moments. Because there's been times where, for me in ministry, that if I wouldn't have had Sarah, I probably would have quit that next day or that same day. And has it been kind of like that for you since you've been there, since you've been married and all that? Or
yeah, so I mean, there's been times where I've been discouraged. And she's one of the most encouraging people I've ever met. There's been times where she didn't know how big her little pick-me-up was. Just to say, hey, I think you're doing a great job, or thank you for loving the kids. And those little things that she does so often. Or like we had an issue come up at the church. Our pastor's a little sick right now, so I had to preach Sunday. So I had to preach with both of them. We have 2 9:00 and 11:00 service. So I had to preach Sunday after doing a D-Now weekend. And I found out like Thursday afternoon, the D-Now started, or Thursday morning, and the D-Now was starting Friday. So I was preparing the last bit of, you know, last minute stuff to make sure D-Now goes off as planned. And there was something that kind of fell through that we're working on. And she got together with some of the other parents and stuff and said, all right, go work on your sermon for an hour. We've got the kids. So a lot of little things like that that have been huge. And then the encouragement, the constant encouragement of and helping remind me of why we do what we do.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. So that's tough right there, getting a phone call last minute. And then you brought up the D-Now. How did the D-Now go? I know that kind of puts a time stamp on, you know, when we're recording, but how did the D-Now go?
It went real well. I was a little nervous about it at first because, like I said, some things fell through on it. And I was hoping for 25, 30 kids. We ended up having like 57. So for us, it was big. It was huge. And it was kind of a much-needed shot in the arm for our whole youth ministry, for our whole student ministry as well. But it was good. We talked about what purpose is, what our purpose here is. A guy named Brian Gear is a good friend of mine that came and spoke, and he kind of helped with the lead with the band too. But he told her, you know, we're here to love, we're here to go, we're here to unite, we're here to be different. So he kind of gave that kind of overview of the kids. One of the ladies that's helped me a lot, it's kind of one of our volunteers, her daughter asked Jesus into her heart this weekend. So everything we did was worth it. Her daughter's not even in the student ministry yet, but we came to part of the event because they actually had a water slide. She wanted to be on the water slide. That was a big reason she came. But she came, listened to the message, had some questions for mom later, and I got a text Monday morning that, you know, saying, hey, great job this weekend. My daughter asked Jesus into her heart. So my daughter is going to spend eternity with me. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. Made everything we did in the whole weekend worth it.
Man, that just makes me happy hearing about it. You told me beforehand somebody got saved, but actually hearing the story of how it happened, man, it just makes you just rejoice. And I guess for that individual, there's no greater feeling than know their daughter come to Christ either.
Oh, man. I mean, I cried when she told me. I was glad I had to go somewhere because I would have been boohooing for real then, but I just had a few tears.
That would have been all right, though. I just wanted to touch on that because, to me, you were an encouragement looking at you as a minister, you know, doing it by yourself. And that was always an encouragement to me. And so I wanted to talk to you about that. And I just wanted to see kind of what, where you're at now, the differences. We really haven't been able to talk a lot since you live 2.5-3 hours away from me now. That's the story of my life right now. I finally got to talk with you. So I just want to talk about that for a second. But you said, like you've been telling us, you've done youth ministry for a good while now. And so I just want to talk a little bit about youth ministry and kind of, you know, your take on it. If I pray and I hope we got some people listening that are youth pastors or aspiring to be a youth pastor one day. And so what would you say to somebody? What would you say to another youth pastor out there, like as a word of encouragement?
Don't give up because kids go through a lot of youth ministries. I've had, you know, a few different jobs and stuff just since I've been in youth ministry too. But a lot of the seeds you plant, you don't really see the harvest from it yet. There's some you do and some you don't, but keep planting those seeds. And, a lot of times those seeds get harvested later on in life. Most of us come to realize that, you know, Jesus is real and we really want to follow him when we go through some kind of tragedy. Or for me, it was when I realized that one day I could die and I didn't want to waste the life that I had. And if Jesus was, if I believed he was real, then it was time to start trying to follow him. So don't give up, because a lot of youth, a lot of students in that age, haven't come to that realization yet. And they need somebody. They don't realize they need somebody, and sometimes it's frustrating work, but don't give up. Keep planting seeds. Keep showing them Jesus' love. And they're paying more attention than you think. They are paying attention. So just keep plugging into them. Keep pouring into them. And so get some people that are like mentors to you and some people that you can trust, that you can confide in, that'll help you through ministry, because there's other ministers out there that'll help you too. Not every youth minister is competing to get more kids. A lot of them out there are really good people that you can really confide in, and some of the same struggles you go through, they're going through too. And they can kind of help you through with, you know, help you get through those things.
Yeah. For me, as everybody may know by now, hopefully if they listen regularly, they would, I pastor a church, and man, I have so many guys that I call and ask them to pour into me and give me advice and just pray for me and help me. And so I love that part of your advice. As youth pastors out there, find somebody to talk to. And kind of the next question I have would be, my advice in it is, you know, also find a different pastor if you can't confide in your own, or talk with your pastor for advice. Because, you know, a lot of times we think we just got to talk to other youth guys. But if we talk to the pastors and kind of see how you can aid and help them, It kind of gives you more to work towards and to do in ministry. Like I said, that kind of gets me to my next question is, you can either go positive or negative here if you want. So it's up to you. But if you could say something to pastors, I mean, like I said, you could say something negative to them and tell them they need to get better in some way, or you can encourage them however you want to handle that, or you can do both. So what would you say to pastors out there?
Well, I would say just, I won't think I'd have, you know, a whole lot of negative to say. You hear a lot of negative stuff, and it's usually, to me, it's not been that bad. But most of the things that I would say to pastors is, have a good relationship, a good working relationship, a good ministry relationship especially if you have someone on staff that is working with your youth, working with your children, have a good relationship with them and share the vision of the church. Make sure that's a clear vision that you're all working toward, because that's something that's kind of stuck to me, is we got to be on the same page. The youth pastor, your children's ministry, whatever title you want to give it, everybody needs to be on the same page, accomplishing the vision that we think our church is here for, here to accomplish. And ultimately, you know, the Bible gives us that, but the particular things that we're trying to do as an individual church, we need to all be on the same page with. So invest in your youth pastors, your student ministers, all those, you know, those people, invest in them in that way to work together to accomplish the vision of the church.
The thing I would say to, maybe this may not go to all pastors out there, but that youth pastor isn't someone underneath you. It's a co-minister in the gospel.
Yes.
So treat them like that. Treat them like that. And, mm-hmm. treat them like they're serving alongside you. And I think that's what would lead to what Tony's saying is, you know, share the vision with them. Let them know what's going on so y'all can work together for the same purpose. Because as a pastor, if you want to realize it or not, you're over the flock of the children as well. And your answer for them. It's not just you. One day when you get to heaven, you stand before God. God's not going to say, well, you know, they were under the youth pastor, so you don't have to account for them. You're going to account for them just like anybody else. So be involved, not in a domineering sense, trust your guy, but be involved and help them in the work of ministry as you ask them to help you. All right. So my third question is kind of my last question in this topic, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to just add anything or say anything you want to say, is what would you say to parents out there that may be listening?
The biggest thing that I kind of see with parents is if we really believe that Jesus is who he says he is, we're really saying that as calling ourselves a Christian, that we're literally a follower of Jesus Christ, make sure that your kids see you making that a priority. Their spiritual direction doesn't need to come just from their youth pastor or from their pastor at their church. It needs to come from their parents. We need to be working together to share what we believe about Jesus and what it means to follow him, what it means to love him back, and what it means to love other people. So your kids, your children need to see that from you as a parent. They also need to see that priority placed on just, you know, not just church attendance, but your relationship with Christ, but church attendance as well. You don't let them out of school or extracurricular activities, sports, and all that kind of stuff. Church needs to be a priority. The gathering together of believers is super important to us. So get your kids involved. Get them plugged in. Because if you look at the numbers, a lot of people past youth aren't going to church anymore. And, you know, church member, you know, the membership is diving down all around in our country, especially. And a lot of that is because the emphasis, the priority on it, I don't think was placed as well as it probably should have been. So make sure that they see that priority, that Jesus is that important to you, that you did everything else in your life. There's other things you do, but everything else is centered around that relationship with Jesus Christ and accomplishing his will.
And you went exactly where I was going to go with it, was the fact that that so many teenagers drop out of church after they get to the college age. And I would probably argue that it happens when they get to about 16 too. And I would contribute it to the parents aren't showing it as a priority. There's probably other things that would contribute to it, but
yeah,
I think that would be a large one. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So, well, is there anything you want to just add about maybe anything we've talked about or maybe something we haven't talked about and you just want to talk about it?
Nothing I think of in particular. I'll probably think of something as soon as we get off, but nothing I can think of right now.
Yeah, that'd be my luck too. Yeah. Well, the way we kind of end out all the time is we do a plug of the week. It could be a book or music or a website or video or podcast or anything like that. So do you have any recommendations for us?
There's a book that I've been kind of reading, and I started trying to read it before I got married, but I'm a slow reader. I go through books and stuff because there's a ton I want to read, and I have trouble staying on one. But there's one called The Dude's Guide to Marriage. It's from Darren Patrick and Amy Patrick. And it's, it says it's about 10 skills every husband must develop to love his wife well. So I had to read up on marriage because I spent most of my life as a single guy and I kind of not really thought much about it. When I moved here, I kind of joked with people that I hope I was going to meet my wife, and then I did. And I was like, oh, I'm unprepared. What am I supposed to do as a husband? And so I was reading up on it, and it was a lot of things, you know, to take into consideration as far as being considerate, know not only what I respond to as far as love, but what she responds to. So I can be the kind of person that I should be that's considerate and that loves well. So that was one thing that I was thinking of as far as the whole marriage thing goes.
Okay. So significant that we try to cultivate a good marriage, because as husbands in ministry or just husbands in general, we're called to be the shepherd to our wives, which kind of I was I was thinking of a resource to plug this week as well, and mine actually happened to be marriage related as well. It's called You and Me Forever by Francis Chan. Him and his wife actually co-wrote the book as well. I think her name's Elisa. And I'm actually going to start tomorrow going through this as with our church on Wednesday night. And it's a pretty simple book. It's the whole idea behind the book is living marriage in light of eternity. And one of the big points he makes in the book is, you know, we focus so much on this little bit of time we have on the earth when there's tens and thousands of millions of years that we're going to live in eternity. So our marriage should impact that. I've really enjoyed the study. I would encourage anybody to get the book, read it. But also, if you read through the book, you see they actually put out videos to go along with it. And one thing I love about a lot of Francis Chan stuff is he actually releases a lot of it for free. So if you're out there and you're like me and you can't afford a lot of books a lot of times, you can get the resource for free, read through it, and then recommend it to somebody that it might benefit. I'm definitely have to look at this, The Dude's Guide to Marriage. I think that would be really impactful for my life as well. Any other resources you might have? Any recommendations?
Honestly, I'm a big fan of anything Francis Chan writes. I've read a few of his books, and they've all been great.
For sure. Well, tell everybody how they can find you on social media. And I know you have a blog, but I don't think you write much on it. So if you don't want to recommend it, you don't have to.
I don't even remember the name of my blog. That's how lazy I've been on it. But I do try to put stuff on social media when I put it on there. But my name's Tony Arnold. You can find I have Facebook. I have Twitter and I have Instagram. I just recently changed my name, so it's just Tony Arnold Jr. on all the stuff. It was Heartthrob Tony for a long time, but now I'm married, so I kind of had to rethink the whole Heartthrob thing a little bit. So it's just Tony Arnold Jr. I have, like I said, Twitter and Instagram, and I have Facebook.
Awesome. Y'all find him, look him up. I'll tag him on Facebook when we release these episodes. Tony, as you've listened to him, he's got years of experience in youth ministry. So if you youth pastors out there, if you got any questions, I'm sure he'll be glad to help you out as much as he can. Absolutely. And whenever he can help you out, he'll probably reference you to somebody that can.
Oh yeah.
But I've enjoyed it, Tony. I appreciate you being on the podcast with me. I was hoping Corey or Daniel could be with us, but when you get four ministers together, you got four different schedules, and it's just hard to make stuff work sometimes. But I've enjoyed it, man.
I enjoyed it too. I appreciate it, John.
I hope y'all enjoyed it.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in.